Take your Bibles. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We've been going through a study on the doctrine of creation. We're in part 4 tonight. We have been moving kind of slow. We've had three messages in the first two verses. Now we're going to begin in verse 3 and go through verse 13 and look at days 1, 2, and 3 of creation. We looked at an introductory message. We looked at what the Holy Trinity was doing before creation. In the beginning, before creation, God always existed, right? But in the beginning, we're talking about before creation. And then we began to, if you look on the screen, we looked at God created in verses 1 and 2 again. Now we're going to look at the second part on our outline up tonight. God formed. God formed, and then he filled, okay? There was no gap theory. There was no God formed it, and then he filled it. And we're going to be looking at a lot of that tonight here. In the first 3 days of creation, God made the uninhabited earth productive. And we'll see in the last 3 days, he filled his uninhabited earth. So let's begin, and we're going to read, let's read the first five verses, if you will, kind of recapping. And as I read it, I want you to look at the flow of the passage by Moses and by the Holy Spirit and see how verses 1 through 5 is all day 1 of creation. So let's stand in honor of God's words that we looked at the first 3 days of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, well, we covered a lot of stuff the last three times, but we're not going to try to review all of that. God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void and darkness. Doesn't mean there was any kind of cataclysmic judgment here from the fall of Lucifer that gap theorists put right here. What it means is he just began his creation. He had not yet begun to fill his creation and form it. And the Spirit of God moved or hovered upon the face of the water. And we talked about how all three persons of the Trinity were involved in creation just like they are in our recreation and our salvation. And God said, let there be light. See, he created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 3, and God says, it's all one day. It's all one day right here. And God says, let there be light, or light be, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. We talked a little bit last week about the three great separations in the first chapter of Genesis. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And that's day one, right? You see that, how that fits in? Day one, the evening and morning were the first day. Everything in first four verses was all in day one. There was no billions and millions of years. Dinosaurs were created on the sixth day with man. They weren't created before man. There was no death before sin. You know, can't be, right? And so all of that, we looked at all of that here. But tonight I want to talk about the beginning of God formed, the first 3 days of Genesis. Father, I pray tonight that you teach our hearts, that we'll be able to teach our children, we'll be able to teach our grandchildren, because, Lord, most of them are in an institution that doesn't teach and preach creation. And, Lord, they need to know the truth about how God, this omnipotent, omniscient God, spoke it all into existence. And it wasn't millions and billions of years. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's look, first of all, at God formed in verses 3 through 13. And I believe I got the right outline up there. Yeah, we use that outline. We don't use it for our music, and we don't use it for anything else except an outline, all right? So here's a preacher with no tie, and here's a preacher with a screen, okay? But anyway, let's look at that tonight, how God formed. Verses 3 through 13. Day 1, we read that in verses 1 through 5. Now note verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke light into existence, out of darkness, verse 2. And the Hebrew says that light be, and there was light. Now nobody can tell us what light is exactly, but you know it when you see it, right? We know that light does exist, and we know what it does. Now, theologians use the word, the Latin word fiat. We got a car named Fiat, right? F-I-A-T. It was by divine will, and God spoke it. God willed it, and he spoke it into existence. all through chapter 1, and God said, and God said, and God said. There is no such thing as a creationist evolutionist. God did not use evolution. He spoke it all into existence. God willed it, and he spoke it by divine fiat. And we looked at another word a few weeks ago about, and it was out of nothing. You know, there was nothing that existed before God. You know, I mean, God didn't have to have anything. He just spoke it, and it was. God didn't use any matter or anything else. There was no pre-existent matter. It's called, you Brother Cham, you might want to help me here. I always have trouble with these words. I got a resident English teacher over here that helps me with these words. Ex nihilo, right? He didn't have to have anything to create, out of nothing. It's not time plus chance plus something equals creation, right? That's evolution. It's God plus nothing equals something, right? And so that's what we're talking about tonight. So day one, God spoke it, fiat. God said, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, 26, and 29. Now the question is often arises to people, and they think that we've got to be able to explain this. And the question is, how can we have light before God created the sun and the moon? How can we have light before God created the sun and the moon on the fourth day? Very simply. Y'all ready? This is pretty profound. You got your paper out? God is light, okay? That's pretty deep, right? God is light. In himself, he is light. He is holiness. He is truth. He illuminates. John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. And by the way, when we get into the eternal state of the believer in the New Jerusalem, in Revelation 21 and 22, we're not going to have a sun and moon because God is light. He's going to light the whole place, right? So God didn't need the sun and the moon just yet because he is light. And again, I'm not in depth here. I'm not equipped to go into it like a real Christian science is and all that kind of stuff. But I just kind of take God at his word here. Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night there, and no need for candle, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Very simply, this is what you can tell people. When they say, how can God have light? How can you have light before the sun and the moon on the fourth day? Simply, God is light. Okay? Now, look in verse 4. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God spoke light into existence. And then he separated the light from the darkness, right? And darkness was also created by God. Now, write this down in your margin here. In verse 4, Isaiah 45:7, it is God who created darkness as well. It is here that many theologians believe that it is here, right here, that in verse 4, that earth probably began on its axis and it began to turn. Light is a form of energy and gravity and electromagnetic fields and nuclear force. So it is right here that the earth began to turn on this axis. Do you realize, and y'all know this, that if the earth was to tilt one smidget one way or the other, we would either freeze to death or burn up, right? It can't be evolution, folks. There's something's holding this creation into its pattern, right? God spoke it into existence and he's sustaining it for the day when the big bang comes in 2 Peter chapter 3, when he's going to destroy the earth, right? People say to you, Brother Ken, you believe in a big bang? Yes, I believe in the post-bang, not the pre-bang. I believe it's all going to come at the end when he destroys the heavens and the earth. Verse 5, note that word day. Okay, I am a young earth creationist. I do not apologize for that. I believe that God created in 6 24-hour days, and I'm fixing to show you. If you're learnable and you're teachable, I'm fixing to show you why that is the case here. Verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The Hebrew word is the word yom, Y-O-M. It refers to a 24-hour period, evening and morning. Henry Morris, who I like, I have his Henry Morris commentary, but I also like his exegesis on Genesis chapter 1. He says, God created in the light and not the darkness. Now, I want you to think about that moment. In the evening, in the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, did God create in six literal 24-hour days, or are these ages of long periods of time? See, some people like to say that they're ages of long periods of time. The day-age theory is called. And there they can put in everything else they want to put in between verses 1 and 2. But as I told you, church, last week, look in your Bible between verses 1 and 2. Do you see anything about the fall of Lucifer? Do you see anything about a cataclysmic judgment? Do you see anything about God having to start over again? No, you don't. There's nothing there but white, right? God created. But some people say, you'd be surprised how many claim to know Christ and say, well, I believe in the day-age theory. I believe that we got to put the geological ages somewhere, and we're going to put them in this millions and billions of years. Well, my question to you, why have you got to put them somewhere? We have what we have because of the flood, right? And the appearance, and God created the earth with the appearance of maturity, right? Now, let me share with you why we believe in six 24-hour days. You say, does it matter? Well, I'll show you. We got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. You know, you might get home by the time the 11 o'clock news comes on tonight, okay? But there are actually, we believe in a literal solar day, in which the days of creation are understood to be solar days, which we calibrate as 24-hour days. Now, let me tell you why. Number one, the phrase, the evening and the morning, is attached to each 6 days of creation, supporting the meaning of the days of 24-hour periods. Evening and the morning occurs 100 times or over 100 times in the Old Testament. And I'm not really... sure about this, Brother Chan might be able to help us here, why it starts with the evening and the morning. I guess, best I can come to, the day would start, the Sabbath would start on the 6 p.m. on Friday. It'd go to, so the evening and the morning were the first day. And never is it used to mean anything other than a literal evening and a literal morning, an ending and a beginning of a solar day. Daniel chapter 8, verse 26 says, and the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore, see, if it's good enough for Daniel, it's good enough for me, right? Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days, right? Second reason why we believe in a 24-hour creation, six-day creation, is Moses believed it to be six 24-hour days. Take your hold right there in Genesis, and go with me to Exodus chapter 20, first of all. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, okay? We're going to look at two passages in Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Well, let me go ahead and read Exodus 20, 9 through 11, okay? All right? Y'all got that? Y'all remember the commandments right here? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why? Because in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. Do you see how he equates the 6 days of creation with the 6 days of the Sabbath week? You see there? That's the way it's understood. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now hold it right there. I want you to go with me a little further. Go to Exodus chapter 31, okay? Exodus chapter 31, and look in verse 17. So Moses understood it to be six 24-hour days. Look in Exodus 31, verse 17. And he says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. See? Now go back to Genesis. So Moses believed in a six-day, 24-hour creation. It states that God made everything in 6 days. Both of these passages speak of that. Thirdly, why do we believe in 6 24-hour days? Well, number three, when the numerical adjective is used before the day om, then it means 24-hour days, like the first day. What is it talking about? It's talking about one day, right? The second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. And again, he tells us here, it's not a period of billions of thousands of millions of years. It is a day. We've already established that in Exodus, right? And whenever you have the numerical adjective, it means one day, day one, okay? A solar day, okay? Now, there's another reason, because of Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Look at that. It refers to a single day. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female, right? Okay? We've been over that before. It's not Adam and Steve, right? It's not Mary and Jane. It's Adam and, it's male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when he created them. Of course, that's the sixth day, okay? Now, let's go back to Genesis just a moment here. Let's begin to look at day two of creation, verses 6-8. Let's just read that. And God says, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. See, the whole earth was covered with water, okay? But God's making another separation here from the waters below and the waters above. And he says, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters that were under the firmament and from the waters that were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Day two, God put an expanse, if you will, a separation between the waters that surrounded the earth and called it heaven. He called it sky. He called it expanse. Remember, there's three heavens. There, when we're not Mormons, okay? But there's three heavens. There's the atmospheric heaven where you see the birds and everything, the clouds. There is the stellar heaven where you see the planets that he created, right? And then there's stars, and then there's the third heaven where the abode of God is, where our loved ones that have died in the Lord are right in the presence of God. Y'all know that, right? And so we don't have to go over that over and over on that. But the lower heaven became the lower waters became water bodies on and under the earth, and the upper water was vital in the flood. Remember, it had never rained, and the waters came down from this expanse that was above, right? And also the earth itself, this water came. The water also came up from the earth, and that's why it was so cataclysmic. The flood was. And you can read about that in Genesis 7, 11, and 12, and Genesis 9, 11 through 15. So the atmosphere was now inhabitable for creation. It was now had air, if you will, the span between the upper waters and the lower waters. It was covered. The Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. It was covered with water. And you, by the way, you can see now, again, the climate of that day. That's why, I'll get into that later. Now let's look at day 3, verses 9 through 13. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and so it was so. And God called the day the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Let me stop right here and tell you something. There is no life on other planets. There's life on planet Earth. Now, we've seen people that look like they might have come from another planet, right? If you go out to San Francisco or wherever, New York or wherever, or Miami, you might see some people who look like they've been implanted here from a spaceship. And that's why the world without Christ is working so hard to find They remind me of this investigation going on for Donald Trump. There's no crime that they're looking for. They're just fishing, hoping they'll find something. Okay? And the same way with these people today, they want to find life on Mars and this. So they say, well, look, see, we disproved the Bible. I am so staunch on creation that if they did find something on another planet, I wouldn't believe it, number one. I'd have to look at it. I mean, what you see on the news now is what? Fake news, you know? I had a grandmother, right? Ben, they didn't think man went to the moon. They thought it was all staged, right? And things like that. And what I'm saying, I don't care what they find. God put Adam and Eve on this planet, right? And it is through this planet he brought his redemption, right? And so where was I at before I got strung out there? By the way, I'm glad the government doesn't appoint special counsels to investigate me. They wouldn't have to look long and hard before they find something, you know? It's just a fishing. I don't want to get into politics here, but he says in verse 10, and God called the day dry, and God called the dry land earth and gathered together the waters called the seas, and God saw that it was good. And it goes on down to verse 13. And God saw it and let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And God brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third days. So on the third day, God made the earth and the seas, the waters, and he also made plant life on the third day. Look in verse 9 and 10 again. Here again, we have a mention of everything being good. You know, all of God's creation from verse 1 all the way to chapter 3 is said to be good. So there's no gap theory of cataclysmic judgment. It was all good. God didn't have to start over again with it, okay? But as you look at this, many believe the water was in one place and the dry land also in a large continent, later broken up by the flood, and it rose up. And there, basically, many believe there was one continent and began to break up at the flood here. Now look in verse 11 through 15, okay? We read that, but let me tell you what it means here. Plant life was created. God created plants and trees with the seeds in them. Which one did God create first, the seed or the tree? The tree, right? In them. See, God created it with seed in them, everything they needed to reproduce, right? There was no evolution going on here, okay? By the way, you haven't seen anything here that gives any evidence of evolution so far, right? And full grown, God created the earth, his creation full grown, producing the age of maturity and appearance of age. It was just like that. Adam was an adult male. Adam was not a stone age man that learned how to start a fire and begin to talk. Adam was a full grown man who was able to converse with God in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Okay? And by the way, the trees that were created, they had rings already. You know how trees have rings in them when you cut them down? Showing the age. They already had the rings in them, showing their age of maturity. God did that at creation, right? And after its kind there in verses 11 through 15, you might want to put the word species. Everything was after its kind. A dog was a dog. Cat was a cat. I read an article the other day how that dinosaurs later became fish, or either it was vice versa, fish and then dinosaurs, right? Man, I'm telling you what, God created cats, he created dogs, he created trees. Nothing became anything else. They have not been able to find anything that's what's the word I'm looking for? Making one transmission, transmutated. Yeah, that too. Or, you know, they got different kinds of dogs, right? They got different kinds of cats, but they're still a cat, right? But they've never been able to find anything that has, in the process of like a cat becoming a dog, you know? all these people, the Neanderthal men, they found, that's been proven that it's not right. You know? If you want a Neanderthal man, you can find one in America somewhere, right? It's in the layers of the flood. Mount St. Helens. Ma'am?
You're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not going to find any brains in Washington, that's for sure. But there was when the flood happened, remember Mount St. Helens, I told you last week, it refutes all this theory of millions and billions of years of these sediment rocks and these fossil beds because it happened overnight with the volcano in Mount St. Helens, right? It was all from the flood. It all goes back to the flood. That's why they want to disprove the first 11 chapters in Genesis here. Everything after its kind. God created several kinds of plants and trees, and he programmed into them with the DNA and genetic codes for their reproduction, right? I mean, how in the world? I understood, if I understood this guy say right, that our genetic code, our DNA, if you should take our, what do they call it? Y'all help me, you people are smarter than I am. And they would take our genetic code or our DNA and they would take it out and string it out. It would go for several hundred miles long. What you got in your body right now. Everything that you need, everything is in that cell. Everything for all that you need is right in that molecule, you know, of that cell here. What I'm trying to say is God did not use evolution. That's hogwash, okay? He created it in 6 24-hour days. But also note in verse 12 that the plant life was created before the animal life. Now, we're not going to get to man till the sixth day, but we will get... Well, he created animals and he created man. He created, that's where dinosaurs, they call them dinosaurs. Job called them a Leviathan and the behemoth, you know. Those are the biblical names, but you ain't going to get a crowd at Disney World by saying, come see the behemoth, you know. And by the way, that was not an elephant. It was a dinosaur, what we call dinosaurs today. Now note verse 14. So light energy created first, and then light givers were given. God made the stars and the constellations, Job chapter 38, Isaiah chapter 40. He even named the stars, you know. Look in verse 14 again. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now, he's not talking here about science. He's not talking about Nancy Reagan and astrology right here, okay? He's talking about how do you guess the shipmasters and were able to navigate their ships before they come up with the GPS. They did it by the stars. They did it by the very God that put it into existence here. And so they were able to navigate, and he made all the constellations and I just believe that. And seasons, what do seasons have to do with? That came into existence when the earth was on its axis. You know, that axis. You have a spring. We used to have spring. What we used to have? Spring, summer, winter, and fall. Right? Yeah, okay, I'll just test in your face, see if you listen. Spring, summer, fall, and winter, right? Or autumn. You know, we have people out there today, Brother Cham, they come to me all the time and they say, well, is it a sign of the end that you're not able to tell the seasons one from another? I say, that's not in the Bible anywhere else. When the Bible talks about signs, it's not talking about the four seasons, okay? That is nowhere in Scripture. That is not a sign for the Lord to come back. You'll not find it. But he does say, you do not know the signs and the times. He's talking about the time and the period that Brother Keith Taylor preached on so eloquently about understanding the day and the time that we live in, and the epochs and the seasons, okay? Now, next week, we're going to look at verses 14 through 31, and we're going to have to maybe divide that up into two parts. And we're going to see how God created, God formed, and then we're going to look at the last 3 days of creation next week in verses 14 to 27. I got 27 up there, but it's 31. And we're going to begin to see how God began to fill his created earth and getting it ready for man. Man didn't come about by evolution, and man brought all this about. it was God getting his creation ready to inhabit it for man, and that's the way it works, okay? All right.